Second Thessalonians, in a nutshell, by Bart Ehrman. In this series of nutshell overviews of each of the books of the New Testament, we now move on to one of the most intriguing instances of a book that claims to be written by Paul, but was apparently instead written by someone else who wanted his readers to think that he was the apostle. Second Thessalonians is an intriguing case because the book certainly sounds a lot like Paul's other letters and does indeed appear to be a kind of follow-up letter to 1 Thessalonians. It also has numerous word-for-word similarities to 1 Thessalonians. It too, for example, is written by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. That's chapter 1, verse 1. It's addressed to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. And both verses are virtually identical to 1 Thessalonians. Moreover, its contents are closely related to the other letter. Both are concerned about the suffering that the Thessalonian Christians are experiencing through persecution, and especially about their misunderstanding about when Jesus is to return on the day of judgment. Near the conclusion of 2 Thessalonians, the author assures the readers that he really is Paul, and he indicates that the proof, as in all of his letters, he is signing off in his own hand, meaning a scribe has taken down his dictation for the letter, and now he himself writes the ending so that the readers can verify his handwriting. It certainly seems like a slam dunk then that this is a follow-up letter by Paul and his companions. But there are compelling reasons for thinking that it is not, that it's in fact a letter written in imitation of 1 Thessalonians, but with a strikingly different message. Its main point, in fact, appears to stand at odds with 1 Thessalonians. I will explain all that in the next post. In this one, I will summarize the major themes and the emphases of the letter, regardless of who wrote it. I begin with a one-sentence, 50-word summary of the book. 2 Thessalonians is a deutero-Pauline letter written to assure Christians in Thessalonica that the day of the Lord is not imminent. An antichrist figure empowered by Satan and called the man of lawlessness must first arise and declare himself to be God before Jesus returns in judgment to destroy him. So here's how I explain the book more fully in my New Testament textbook, The New Testament, A Historical Introduction to the Early Christian Writings, which was published by Oxford University Press. Whoever the actual author of 2 Thessalonians was, its occasion appears to be reasonably clear. It was written to a group of Christians who were undergoing intense suffering for their faith. See chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. We don't know how this suffering manifested itself, whether there was some kind of official civic opposition to those people, or there was hostility from the local population, or something else. We do know that the author wrote to assure his readers that if they remained faithful, they would be rewarded when Christ returned in judgment from heaven. At this parousia of Jesus, those who opposed them and rejected their message will be punished with eternal destruction, but the saints would enter into their glorious reward. And that's chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. A second reason for the letter was that some members of this Christian community had come to believe that the end time had already come upon them. That is, that the day of judgment was going to happen not in the indefinite future, but right away. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Some of those who thought this found confirmation in prophecy spoken by members of the congregation, and, still more interestingly, in a letter that was reputedly written by Paul. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. The author of 2 Thessalonians, claiming to be the real Paul, warns his readers not to be deceived. Whatever an earlier forger may have asserted, the end has not come yet, because there were certain events that had to transpire first. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The author describes these events in an apocalyptic scenario that sounds very much like what we find in the Apocalypse of John, see chapter 28. A kind of antichrist figure is to be revealed on earth before Christ returns. This lawless person is ultimately destined for destruction, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Exalting himself above every other so-called god or object of worship, he will eventually take his seat in God's temple in Jerusalem, declaring himself to be God. That's chapter 2, verse 4. The author reminds his readers that he fully informed them of this scenario when he was with them, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Moreover, It has obviously not yet occurred, since no one has yet come forward to assume the grandiose role of this Antichrist. Indeed, the author mysteriously indicates that there is some supernatural force restraining the lawless one for the time being. But once this force is removed, he will make his appearance, setting in motion the final confrontation between Christ and the forces of evil headed by Satan. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. In large measure, then, this letter was written to assure the congregation of Christians that the end was not yet upon them, as Paul fully instructed them previously in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Christ would not return until this apocalyptic scenario played itself out. We discover in the final chapter of the book that the problem in the congregation may not simply have been one of establishing an appropriate timetable for upcoming events. Some members of this church apparently were so persuaded that the end was absolutely imminent that they had quit their jobs and were simply waiting for it to happen. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 15. Their decision had grave social implications. Those who had kept their jobs were having to feed those who hadn't. And this situation of apocalyptic freeloading was a source of tension in the congregation. In terms quite reminiscent of 1 Thessalonians, the author reminds his readers how he and his companions had lived among them, working for their meals and refusing to be a burden on others. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. He insists that they do likewise. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 and 15. The question is, was this author actually Paul? It must be admitted that in places at least he sounds like Paul. For instance, in the letter's opening, which, as we've pointed out, is very close to the opening of 1 Thessalonians, and in the recollection of Paul's toil among the Thessalonians when he was first with them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8 is very similar to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. In addition, a number of Pauline themes are sounded throughout the epistle. The necessity of suffering, the expectation of ultimate vindication, and the apocalyptic hope that stood at the core of Paul's gospel. But do these similarities mean that Paul wrote the letter? The problem, from a historian's point of view, is that someone who had decided to imitate Paul would no doubt try to sound like Paul. If both Paul and an imitator of Paul could sound like Paul, then how could we possibly know whether we are dealing with the apostle himself or with one of his later followers? That's what I'll deal with in the next post.